recording in progress.
We're going to call the meeting to order. Thank you all for coming. We would like to begin by acknowledging that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Start with a roll call. I'm Mayor Peter Hopkins, and we'll start with the left.
Acting Clerk, Roshan Kampia.
Councilor Redmore.
Councilor Mike Edmond.
Craig Dawson.
Councilor Nick Rodman.
Councilor Marley Hanson.
Mary Smith.
Deputy Clerk Brian Watkinson.
Thank you. Are there any declarations of conflict of interest? Hearing none. We have Resolution 21-411. Be resolved that the Council Township does hereby approve the agenda for this meeting as presented. May I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councilor Haskell. Second. Councilor Riley. Any discussion? Councilor Kekkonen.
So the agenda as presented, is that the amended agenda?
Yes. Any further discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Carried. Thank you. Okay, we have three delegations tonight. Just a reminder that for delegations, we allow 10 minutes. Most of the time that gets done very easily. If there's extensions, then I have to ask council for approval to extend your presentation, but we'll try and keep on time and try and keep it at 10 minutes, if you will. So we're going to start with Dr. Becky Pollack and Greg Mason from the GBB, which is Georgian Bay Biosphere.
Your Worship. My name is Becky Pollack. I'm the Executive Director of the Georgian Bay Biosphere. I'm here tonight with our General Manager, Greg Mason, and both of us have served the organization as volunteers since 2002 and staff since 2009. We've prepared some slides for you tonight. There is no formal request. We just simply wanted to provide you with an update of some of our activities and also to give you some of the highlights from our past year and some exciting plans ahead. We will start. Thank you. So, Georgian Bay Mininogami Biosphere, we've added an Anishinaabeg traditional name to our organizational name. As you may know, we started as a not-for-profit in 2004, and we've actually been named a Canadian charity, in 2018. So, next, please. Our five major impact areas are focused on education, conservation, climate, culture, and sustainable development. And many of the residents of McKellar will know about our gardening projects with monarchs, food baskets to seniors and vulnerable communities, and of course we like to hire local students whenever we can. Next. The snapshot from the past year is incredible. We had citizen scientists volunteer, and they observed over 13,000 species. I didn't think that could be done, but people jumped on board with their iPhones and apps, and they used iNaturalist to submit their observations. We have many social media followers. We collected and released almost 4,000 at-risk turtle species due to road construction projects. We had many webinar registrations, a whole new way of reaching communities through COVID. We've planted native species every single year, at 600 last year. Over 100 youth participated in Indigenous workshops, which was a huge success. And we just want to highlight that we are so proud to employ 24 staff at our peak season, and we keep 15 on staff through the winter. There's other statistics there as well, around our 11 community gardens and 20 different places we like to monitor water quality. But none of this is done alone. It's all in partnership. Next. And so just to highlight our partnerships, we have over 150 different organizations that ranges from municipality with First Nations to not-for-profit groups like Rotary Clubs, youth groups, the public and private sector alike. And as Greg will tell you, there's a number of partnership models we like to use. Some we lead, and where they'll lead applicants for some major grants. Others are memorandum of understandings, MOUs, or contracts. And we're getting more and more into what we call service delivery, so professional services where we can offer technical support, ecological services, planning, and other functions. Next, please. So, Greg, if you could take it over, we'll look at some samples. Thanks.
Many of you will be familiar with the ICECAP, or the Integrated Community Energy and Climate Action Planning Initiative, which is a regional partnership between municipalities, First Nations, and a number of not-for-profits. In our view, this is a very successful example of a regional partnership that streamlines, is much more efficient from an economic perspective, provides advice and clarity on climate action and mitigation measures across the region in a cohesive fashion through operating through one office. Our goals here are really around reducing greenhouse gas emissions, mitigating those impacts, but also looking at adaptation planning for this region. And it often doesn't make sense for any one local municipality or local government to do this on their own, and hence this this regional approach, which I think, in addition to showing very significant climate impacts over the next number of years, is a very cost-effective way of proceeding in this region. Next slide, please. As Becky had mentioned, we do a number of more service-oriented sort of contracts in relationship with a number of municipalities and local governments. We do water quality monitoring with local ratepayer associations and municipalities, invasive species training, any kind of education. The more recent one we've done is to work with the public works departments around mitigating the impacts of road construction and management and maintenance on species at risk. And we have found cost-effective methods that are comparable in terms of the cost, but actually have a greater ecological outcome for the surrounding species. So we're constantly exploring these ways of working with community in a financial and a partnership basis to meet community needs. Next slide. A specific example, this is a bit of a different one, is where we worked with Schwaniger First Nation, helped them to apply for a grant, and then they in turn are working with us and employing us to help them lead a project on the sturgeon monitoring. And this is looking at sturgeon habitat, examining traditional ecological knowledges, and bringing that all to bear in terms of a regional perspective on how to bring sturgeon back and support these populations on the coast of Georgian Bay. Next slide. We feel strongly in summary that the partnerships that we have brought forward and are able to bring forward in connection with our communities have a real economic impact. Our last fiscal year, we saw $1.3 million of funding flow through our organization. In the last 5 years, we've doubled the annual income for the Georgian Bay and Ogeti Biosphere. In addition to that, this is a range of sources from contracts and grants and also donations and fundraisers to allow us to employ these staff that are bringing expertise to the communities to deliver on your needs. Next slide, please. Looking forward, we're really excited that we're working right now on a social enterprise, an arm's length organization that will be able to more formally provide consulting services to the community and private sector consistent with the UNESCO mandate and in support of the charity and the financial capacity as well. And we'll be providing more information to you in the coming year on this. Next slide, please. Looking forward, thanks for having us here tonight. Again, as Becky mentioned, there is no real ask at this time. It's to present some of the work that we've been doing, but it's also to open up the opportunity to you, which is that if you have needs or wish to explore partnerships, or you have ideas that you wish to bring forward to us, and are concerned with your community, by all means, reach out. We have many staff that would be happy to sit down with you and help your community out. So thanks very much for your time this evening.
Next slide.
Next slide.
Thank you very much, Council, for your time tonight. Are there any questions at all?
Any questions from Council, or even our audience? I can just comment that I've been working very closely with the GBBR at one time, now GBB, for at least 10 years, and I've been very impressed with their organizational skills, their detail, their documentation, and their outreach. They just reach out to everybody and get them involved. It's an amazing organization. So we did the Butterfly Garden, we've done the Bethlehem Study, we've done the Ice Cap Program, all sorts of things in which we've been collaborating with the GB, and we hope to continue to do so. Any other questions that anybody has? No? Thank you very much. We have a resolution 21412. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Cutters hereby receive the deputation from Good Mason and Becky Pollock of the Jordan Bay Bias Suit. Have a mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Moore, second. Councilor Ketchum, any discussion? Call the question, all there. Chair, thank you.
You're only 8.5 minutes.
Okay, our second deposition is from the Dynamic Snow Riders, the Snowmobile Club, with Bill McNeese, and I'm not sure if Bill's going to join him, or you can be the silent part.
Security.
Again, 10 minutes, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Thank you again. My name is Bill McNeese, and as mentioned, Phil Jeffkins here with me, and we're representing the Dynamic Snow Rider Snowmobile Club. And we manage approximately 120 kilometers of snowmobile trails in the township. Tonight, we're seeking a resolution for the township to enter into two separate memorandums of understanding. One is for our club to access the road allowance off of Gray Owl Lake, or a reroute of our Trail 803. The other more important one is for approximately 8 feet of an access point through the public works yard on Highway 124 for the extension of our Trail 807. And we'd like to start with that one. Good. So the 807, our 807 trail currently runs across Manitowoc Lake through three private lands, which, of course, have members of understanding, back onto Manitowoc Lake, and then it ends at Minerva Park Curve. At that point, snowmobilers take it upon themselves to cross Highway 124 through the public works yard, across two private lands onto McKellar Lake. They've been using that route for as long as anyone can remember, 40 years, 50 years, whatever it is. It's been a long time. We've recently been fortunate enough to obtain a memorandum of understanding for both of the private landowners between the public works yard and McKellar Lake. And this new development will allow us to install proper trail signage to help keep snowmobilers safe and provide proper grading to cross Highway 124, which again will improve both snowmobile and highway traffic safety. In addition to the improved safety element, each MOU includes a landowner attachment to a $15 million liability policy, whereas today it's all on the township. So that's a real benefit for landowners. It's also relevant to state again that this route's been used for a long time. Whether the township enters an MOU or not, it will continue to be used. There's no doubt about that. So our position is, why don't we take this opportunity to improve safety for the community, add additional OFSC trails to the trail maps for snowmobilers, while adding additional insurance protection for the township. So now the second memorandum of understanding is for our trail number 803, which currently runs the Gray Owl Road for approximately 1.4 kilometers. As a result of recent land purchases, we've entered into a landowner MOU that will eliminate all but a couple hundred feet of that gray-owl road running. So to accomplish this, we are asking the township permission to utilize up to 200 feet of road allowance that comes off of Gray Owl Lake, which will get us access to the private lands, which we have an MOU for. Again, we've been provided an opportunity to eliminate the dangers to both snowmobilers and residents inherent with running Gray Owl Road for over a kilometer, as well as adding a kilometer of new scenic trail to the OFSC map, and for the enjoyment of both local and touring snowmobilers. Thank you. Any questions?
Are there any questions from anybody? Yes, Ms. Murray.
Just to educate you on this, you already have a memorandum of understanding with the township through Minerva Park.
To Minerva Park. The trail ends at Minerva Park.
So what you're asking for is permission to cross Minerva Park and then across the highway and then across the township yard?
Fair enough.
Okay. I just wasn't clear on that. So it's not worded quite right then.
No, it's not worded that way. That's a good point.
And I don't have any information on Greyhound.
Any information on which?
On the trail you're talking about on Gray Owl Road.
It wasn't included in the package for some reason.
Okay. And then getting back to the trail to the Public Works Garage, you know about this, Greg?
No, I haven't been told about it, but yes, the trail has been used for 50 years, but nobody's contacted me. But as far as the Gray Owl Road goes, that would be an improvement if you schedule through with that to get them off the road that 1 to 2 kilometers per
hour. I think you're okay.
Oh, I'm in favor of that one, for sure. Both of them are good. What's that?
They're both township yard heritage?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
One more question. Will you provide a copy of the insurance policy with the township named as a co-insured in it to the township once it's done?
The current MOU mentions the insurance policy.
It speaks to that.
But I haven't had a landowner ask for a copy of the policy, so I can't answer that tonight.
Okay. I'll ask what the rest of council thinks about it.
Yeah, just coming in Gray Owl Road, or Gray Owl access to the right way there. Have you consulted with the owners of the land? What? To the right of me?
To the right of you. So the new...
Where the right-of-way comes up.
Yes.
From the fire road.
Yeah.
There's a couple of properties there. I'm just not quite sure where you're going. I know where you're not going right now, but I don't know where you
so
are.
So through the township road allowance, 150 feet, there's one driveway we may end up crossing. For a full-time resident, and then we're right into parcel of land that's already been approved.
Do you normally talk with the resident whose land you're crossing?
It's not their land. It's if they cross township, they're on the road lines. They're driving.
Yeah.
But we have talked to them.
Okay.
And he's aware of what we're planning. We're continuing to look for alternatives to that location or that access, but we feel that it's important to get the township's approval now so that we can, if other options don't work out, we can still get the trail done this season.
So we will need the Gray Owl component and your agreements.
Yeah, I sent him. I don't know why you shouldn't make the package. I ordered that out on Monday, but it's still not here. I've got copies here that I can leave if we find out.
Yeah,
leave
it if we find out. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Councilor Kagan?
This sort of concerns as well. Great job. There's always improvements or appreciated. Does this normally run through the municipality's insurance provider as well? And using municipal road allowances, is there usually any type of a road allowance agreement that's put in place? I guess it's already open. As mentioned, it's not in our package, so we can't really review what's been proposed for rail, but there's mention of going on municipal road allowance. So is there some type of a road allowance agreement that's usually put in place for that? Or?
I'm not aware of a road allowance agreement that our club has entered into. No. It typically is done through this land use permission agreement, otherwise known as a memorandum of understanding. The location is identified as an addendum to the agreement showing the map of where the trail would go and the permission, where the permission is granted for the trail to go on any landowner's property.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah, I just want to commend you for all the work that you do here in the off-season and the on-season, looking after 120 kilometers of roads for Keller and Whitestone. I mean, it's a wonderful volunteer organization that I've enjoyed doing some of your meetings and just listening to the enthusiasm of this group. It's just an amazing group. So we will see once we get all the documentation how we proceed.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. So we have resolution 21-413. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Keller has hereby received a deputation from Bill McGeese and Phil Jeffings on behalf of the Dynamic Stone Riders Snowmobile Club. Can I have a mover and a second, please? Council Moore, second. Council Kettman. Any discussion? Yes.
I think we should add to that for the township to be provided the copy of the insurance policy along with this memorandum of understanding with the township named as an additional insured in it.
That's going to be the second part. That's going to be the second resolution.
Can we do the actual recommendation Okay, any further discussion on the receiving of the report? Call the question, all in favor? Sure. So we have resolution 21-414. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Keller does hereby direct staff to prepare a memorandum of understanding to be executed between the Corporation Township of Keller and the Dynamic Snow Rider Snowmobile Club to allow for extension of local Trail 807 across the public works yards and local Trail 803 access to motor allowance off of Great Island Lake. They further, the Dynamic Snow Rider Some writers assume Bill Clough will accept responsibility for all costs incurred with respect to the preparation and execution of the memorandum of understanding, and also provide a copy of the insurance policy with the township named as an addition. Mover and a second, please. Councilor Riley?
Second.
Councilor Harris? Any further discussion? Councilor Kaplan?
Was Minerva Park going to be added after across Public Works Yard and Minerva Park?
Councilor Custer?
I'm sorry.
Somebody's not allowing me on.
Oh, here we go. I think it's a good idea to add Minerva Park while we're at it to the MOU. Because I think presently there's one of the Sawmill Trails to go through Stewart's Park Beach property presently right now, so I would only say that.
Minerva Park.
May as well cover Minerva Park while we're at it.
Plus Public Work Yards, Minerva Park. Just add Minerva Park.
Just a question is, what is the ending period of the MOU? Is it a 1 year or adding, right? It just says November 1st, 2021.
It's a yearly thing. It's a yearly application.
Yearly.
If I could add to that, actually the MOU is in place until such time as the property owner notifies the local sawmill club, in turn notifies OFSC, and permission is denied, and then the trail is closed on this property. So the property owner at any time can cancel the MOU.
Okay, so it's a one-year agreement, and we've added in Minerva Park. Councilor Kaplan?
Just so the question I had previously, at what point is our insurance policy provider made aware of this, and is it normally when an MOU brought to the attention of the township's insurance policy provider?
It's a general insurance policy covering all trails in Ontario. So, I know Councilor Moore's request to be added as an additional insured. It's an all inclusive type of policy that all landowners. So, I don't know that once an MOU is signed, you take part of the insurance policy if there's a claim. So, I own land and I have an MOU with the snowmobile club, and if there's an incident on my property, then of course my own insurance is going to be involved, but they're going to go looking for this other policy through their through my MOU. But we will still request a copy of it, the policy. It's just, we've never been asked for it, so I don't know.
Through Mr. Chair, I would like to let the council know that I will forward a document to the owner insurance company with the actual memorandum of understanding plus the insurance paperwork provided by Mr. To the memorandum of understanding, and then I will present all document to the our insurance company.
Yes.
Sorry, if I could just elaborate on what Councillor Adam mentioned about this annual policy or annual agreement. There is a spot for an ending to the agreement, but it's left blank in your package and blank with all landowners because, A, we're a volunteer group, and the resources required to renew these annually with 5,600 landowners in Ontario would be cumbersome. Given that the landowner, including myself, as pointed out by Councillor Haslam, has a 60-day out clause, anytime I want out, I just have to notify the zoning authority. So it would be our preference, therefore, that the MOU would stand as it is with an open-ended period.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, we'll call the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. Okay, we're going to now call on Matt McLean from Tayton Engineering to give us a brief update on the recent road study that will be going to our roads committee when we meet next. So, is he available at this point in time? Harry?
Yes,
okay, again, just, you know, the 10 minutes to summarize your large documents here. So if you give us a quick highlight on them, and then we'll be dealing with them in detail with your consultation later time. So you have the floor.
Sure, okay. I have a presentation as well. My name will be Shadow Spring. Present that.
Yes, we can hear you and we can see your presentation.
Okay. Are you seeing just the single slide or the whole slide? There we go. Okay. Yes, okay. So, yes, I'll try to do this. This is what's long as 10 minutes, but I'll try to go as speed as possible here. So, thanks for having me tonight. Just going to talk about the, part of the city overview, but just go right to some of the highlights of the movie study and then address some questions that you have. So, this project exchanging, the fourth generally, the fourth stage of the overview study, the main point is number four there, where we do the action, the overview, reporting, conditions, and measurements. Roads. So all the deliverables are complete with this presentation and the road study report that was delivered on the day. And the study itself purposes to evaluate road conditions for the entire municipal network and identify needs and recommend improvements for a 10-year period. Recommendations are prioritized to maximize the lifespan of existing roads and to focus spending on roads where the greatest benefit will be provided. Traffic volumes are an integral part of the road use study because they are one of the most important factors to a road's lifespan and the prioritization of needs. Accurate volume data helps ensure that available budget is allocated to improvements that serve the greatest number of users. Actual traffic counts are not part of this study. However, there were existing counts, but they were estimated in 1988, the previous road use study. So those weren't used. Instead, traffic counts and volumes estimated based on the number of properties fronting on each road, plus sections contributing to 2F section from adjacent sections. Future traffic volumes are estimated by applying growth factors that considered census data from Statistics Canada. And due to the current trend of telecommuting and transition to a more rural lifestyle, people moving away from centers in rural areas, by growth factors of 2% per year for collector roads and 1% for local roads. We completed the inventory in June of this year. We recorded 178 road sections with 107.3 centerline kilometers. Road sections are separated from intersection to intersection generally, or where road conditions change from surface space, say, rather than on our surface. Road appraisals are based on procedures listed in the MCO inventory manual for municipal roads. And quality of the steps for each section include horizontal or vertical alignments, surface condition, surface and shoulder widths, level of surface provided, structural adequacy, and drainage. Now, the roadside environment is an important factor in assessing the needs. Roadside environments are based on development type. Rural, semi-urban, and urban. Rural roads are typical areas with sparse development, where we're developing 60% of the street frontage. Semi-urban is where development is 60% of the frontage, but do not include curb gutters. For example, roads in residential areas in town areas of McKellar would be considered as semi-urban. Urban roads have curb gutters. And subdivisions with lots, say, less than 30 meters, or in-town streets with curb and gutters. The only urban section is Central Road between Capitol Street and I-1 and 24. As shown in the chart here, we see that the vast majority is rural. Road classifications generally represent the type of use for each road and are open to the local collector and arterial. Local roads are to provide access to smaller developed areas. They have lower speeds, lower volumes, and reduced standards. Collector roads are balanced between land access and mobility, whereas arterial roads are longer distance and provide high level mobility for through movement and reduced access to abutting areas. In our opinion, none of the roads owned and maintained by the township are arterial. From an engineering perspective, we consider all high volume roads owned by the township. I want to come under the once we do the inspections, we engineer it into our database to identify deficiencies. Deficiencies are any time the existing conditions not meet acceptable standards. And there are different criteria for deficiencies based on roadside environments, classifications, and minimum road standards. Here's just some of the minimum road standards that reduce the identified deficiencies. They're based on discussions with the township and generally good engineering practices. As I mentioned, there are different standards for different environments and classes. And standards increase from rural to urban environments and local to regular classes. Traffic is also considered for semi-urban and rural environments. So ultimately, we end up with a PCI condition, pavement condition index for each road section. This is based on the comfort level of the driver in the field, driving the motor close to speed on it, and the number and severity and density of the distresses, such as cracks, deformations, and road surface. The next three slides here will show the PCI for different surface types. Here are the PCIs for asphalt, which are generally in good condition. Surface treated roads are currently in excellent condition. Most of these deficiencies can be addressed with sealing or patching without major expense. Some of the lower storm roads require pulverizing and resurfacing. And the gravel roads then are also generally in excellent condition. Few roads in there. So, as we've seen in the previous slide today, there are resurface types, surface treated asphalt. Gravel is just under half of the total road network of the site. When compared to the standards, all sections are 12 at the minimum requirements. The identified sections with deficiencies generally 6 meters is considered minimum acceptable or tolerable bay. Most of those have an active bay, but there are the two bay bars go 20 kilometers or rates less than 6 meters. Width isn't a critical factor as other improvements, since those are operating just fine. And in most cases, their weight deficiencies are only half a meter to a meter. And in the case of gravel roads, the total width of the platform, with including shoulders, which are typically also used for driving. Traffic operations, this is mainly more of a concern for former urban municipalities where the capacity of the road can't handle the traffic that it services. There are no problems coming up with this. So after the field work is completed, we'll evaluate the standards and to develop the needs to maximize the road length. Improvement strategies are based on the environment, class, current conditions, and surface site. Improvements range from nothing at all beyond normal maintenance to reconstruction. Recommended improvements also consider travel volumes, township practices, and budget conservation. The slide shows the various improvement strategies and length of roads for each. Recommendations are based on road conditions at the time of assessment. The green bar shows the roads require nothing other than regular maintenance, whereas the yellow bar shows that the predominant need is pulverized and resurfaced. Once the improvement strategies are developed, we estimate costs based on our database of recent local construction costs and MTO costing methodologies. Some of the new prices that we used to develop the cost is included in the report. The identification of the needs and budget estimations that we prepared indicate there's $16.5 million worth of improvements needed over the next 10 years. This is in $2021 and that annual average of $1.6 million. We understand this may exceed the budget, so we have prepared an alternate scenario. The minimum maintenance standard in the Class 6 roads can be addressed through regular maintenance only, very major capital investments, and all widening needs are on Class 6 roads. So, according to the minimum maintenance standards, we recommend excluding Class 6 roads and widening only improvements from the improvement program to ensure funds are directed to higher class roads serve a large number of users. And so, by doing this, by excluding Class 6 roads, widening only improvements, on the program, we end up with a reduced program on the right. The middle column is the full program that I just signed earlier. Reduced program reduces tenure costs from $16.5 million to $9.2 million or approximately $910,000 per year on average. In order to reduce budget demands and ensure those supported needs are addressed with the bill funding, we prioritize improvements in the bill. Place higher priority on both higher traffic volumes and lower compensation costs. This approach will provide the highest return on investment. This does, however, the needs of 48 sections with a length of approximately 26 kilometers undergrass with a value of approximately 7.3 million. Excluding these sections will result in increased payments for those road sections. Because all the needs in the budget have to be increased to approximately 1.6 million. Or additional sources of funding to consider. Also for consideration, we will need to add a pavement condition index during this year's study. The entire road number is 78.1 when weighted by line. This means the roads are in generally good condition. Now, if the PCI is 70 or higher, ensures improvements are generally limited to resurfacing within 10 years. This rating should be monitored regularly to ensure it does not decrease. In which case, the annual capital budget for maintenance will need to be increased to correct the declining conditions. More costs for repairs need when the PCI drops to 55 or less. So to maintain this PCI, we recommend this implementation plan. We also recommend more frequent updates that will be studied and considered to monitor the conditions so that the potential reduction in PCI can be addressed at more costs to do so. And finally, noted earlier, we recommend that the township complete a traffic count study this future decision to be based on current data rather than thank you for your time, and I'll address the question then. Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation. Is there any questions from members of council at this point in time? It's a lot to absorb. We have to do a lot more detail on that. Any quick comments anybody has? So, anyway, thank you very much for your presentation, and we'll be following up with you shortly. Thank you. So we have resolution 21415. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Governors hereby receive PowerPoint presentation on the roads needs study by Matt McLean from Dayton Engineering, and further receive the roads needs study report for information. You have a mover and a second, please. Mr. Ryland. Second. Councilor Moore. Any discussion? That's all the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you very much. Okay. Moving into adoption of the minutes. Resolution 21416, be resolved that the Council of Township of Governors hereby approve the minutes of the August 24th, 2021 regular meeting of Council. I have a mover and a second, please. Anyone? Yes, second. Need a second here. Anyone could? Any discussion? Councilor Kegman?
So there are still some corrections, concerns in regards to the August 24th council meeting minutes. And there are several things, and I think that at this time we can just defer these ones until the deputy clerk has an opportunity to review some of the corrections and we'll bring them back at the next council meeting.
Do you have a list of corrections?
Certainly do.
Will you provide them to the deputy clerk, please?
Yes.
Okay. So, is that an agreement to everybody? Okay. We're going to defer. Call a question, all in favor? Of deferred. Carried. Okay, we are dealing with planning matters. So, Resolution 21417, be resolved that the Council of the Township of Governors hereby approve the minutes of the October 12th regular meeting and the October 29th and November 1st, 2021 special meetings of the Council. May I have a mover and a second, please? Councilor Hess? Second.
should, seeing as I wasn't here for that meeting. Okay. That's all. So.
Any discussion? Councilman.
The October 12th meeting, there's a church note there.
Go ahead. Oh, sir. Cut you off.
The October 12th minutes. There's a clerk's note under resolution 21387. It's just a correction that there was a resolution missed with the procedural bylaw under section 210 says there's not supposed to be any clerk's notes or not on minutes. I don't know how else you deal with it, but.
Just sorry to the chair. I would like to let you know that the council that the clerk's note is just identifying that there's an error that we missed the number 21388.
I just wanted to make the rest of the council aware that that is not compliance with the procedural bylaw.
Any other comments? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Approving the minutes? Carried. Thank you. So, Resolution 21418, be resolved, the Council Township Governors hereby amend Resolution 21360 to read as follows. Be resolved that the Council Township Governors hereby accept Report T21-12, renewal of municipal insurance, and further direct the Treasurer to renew the policy with intact public entities in the amount of $76,973 plus applicable taxes. And further, the Council approve the minutes of the September 14, 2021 regular meeting of Council with the amendment of Resolution 21360. Here I have a mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Miller? Seconder? Councilor Riley? Any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. So moving into planning matters. We have two. The first one from the Levines. Is there a resolution? Resolution 21419, be resolved that the Council of Township of Cards hereby recommend that the application for right of way by Jerry Doreen Levine on behalf of Quest Tech and Matthew Kelly on the lands described as Part 2-4, Plan 42R-18130, is applied for an application number B38-2021, be approved subject to the following conditions. Inclusion of registered rights of way to the Levine land and the Nicholas lands, and to payment of all applicable fees. We have a mover and a seconder to put it on the table, please. Councilor Mover, seconder. Councilor Haskin. Is John Jackson here? Okay, would you like to speak to this, please?
Certainly, it's actually a case where the Levines were sorting out a number of their property issues and had a local surveyor to define driveway locations and property boundaries, and they discovered that their driveway was actually approaching upon the Kellys and the West Step properties that were so little. Even though it is a minor encroachment, the terrain of the property is such that it's much easier to get easements over the existing location and driveway. So it's clearly and truly just a minor technical correction of where the driveways are in relation to the rights of way. Thank you.
Any questions from members of council? Councillor Moore?
Do you feel this application is complete, John? I see that nobody signed, either Mr. Kelly or anybody from the West Tech group have signed the additional fees section of the application. So it's minor, as you said, but if there was ever an appeal of this decision to LPAT, who's going to pay the extra cost?
Well, Mr. Kelly and the representative of the West Tech property signed Mr. Regine as the agent. I will certainly look into that. It would be to be sure that that is in order in the file. And it's not done before the planning board session deals with it. So thank you for that technical point. Your worship.
Any further comments?
Yes.
Mr. Murray?
I would suggest that this should be deferred until we have a copy of that signed document.
Well, if I might, if you were to be an actual decision to be the planning board, so you will take the comment concerns back to the actual resolution. Gets formalized for this application, and I can assure you it'll be assigned to that decision representatives of my board that sit on the council and will be able to contest that. Thank you.
Any other comments? Hearing none, call a question. All in favor? Carried. We have resolution 21420. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Kelly does hereby recommend that the consent application to create two new rural lots by April Diamond in part of lots 32 and 3, concession 3, as applied for application B42-2021 McKellar, be approved subject to the following conditions: payment of a fee in lieu of parkland made payable to the Township of McKellar, obtain 911 addressing, and payment of all applicable planning fees. We have a mover and a second, please. Is there any discussion? Councilor Miller.
Is John going to speak to this first?
Yes. Sorry, John. Go ahead, please speak to it before we question.
This property is located on Kerrville Road. Some of the council members of the public may recall 7 years ago that the landowner applied to his own land for special events venue. And she was successful, subject to a number of conditions through that process, and she was being concerned by submissions of neighbors and agencies. Then came the pandemic, and a larger venue location virtually no longer that market. So the applicant here is trying to offset the fact that there's been no income to support this rezoned venue for celebrations and special events by selling off some distant rural lot off the Burnside Road, Grass Road side of the property. So these proposed lots will meet the conditions of the municipality's planning commissions. Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilor Moore?
Mr. Jackson, this is Councilor Moore. I've had this discussion with you before, but I see it's still on these planning applications to obtain the 911 address. I should state that I've never had this discussion with you in the capacity I'm asking you now as a councilor, but it's kind of redundant to ask for a 911 address sign whenever you don't know where the entrance is going to be on the property. You have a 200-foot property. It could change the number sign drastically where the entrance goes. So I've always said that the approval should be a clearance letter from the roads department for the entrance. That condition should be in there. You can't get an entrance, you couldn't have a buildable lot.
I just think we put it on there not so much because it's so significant, but rather that as soon as the lot was created, you want to be able to identify it. But I do understand the concern. I'm wondering whether we might simply add a condition, Your Worship, to the proposed consent that ties that Conservative Councilman Moore's into the address and then to the Tolkien response. So, taking a 911 address and at a location that is vetted by the Township Road
Yes, go ahead, Councilor Cassidy.
Yeah, that seems like a solution to it. And I think once in a while we've actually put on the motions that driveway locations are to be approved by our road super to ensure that there is a safe driveway location or a driveway at all. It's something we should always be aware of. Something they serve a lot where it's 20-foot rock top and there is no access. So that suggestion by the planner may be a good one, that it is through the road superintendent also.
Okay, so we've added in the 911 address and approval of the township's road, or sorry, depends on the township's road superintendent's approval. Agreeable to everybody? Okay. Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
I do have one thing. Sorry. I just want to make sure you understand that, Greg, and that they're not asking for an entrance permit. They're just asking you to look and make sure there is a place for an entrance.
Yeah. Okay. I can move to that.
Yep.
Okay. Any further discussion? Call a question on favor? Carried. I'm sure April will be pleased to get some help with your development. Okay. So now we're moving into committee or board minutes. We have resolution 21421, be resolved that the council council has hereby received the Recreation Committee minutes of September 30th and October the 28th, 2021. Madam Mover, the second, please. Councilor Mover, seconded. Councilor Ryland. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. Resolution 21423, be resolved that the Council of Country Guards hereby received the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee minutes of September the 2nd, 2021. Have a mover and a second, please. Anyone move? Councilor Ryland, second. Councilor Pittman. Any discussion? Call a question. All in favor? Carried. So we have Resolution 21424, be resolved that the Council of Township Guards hereby accept the October 13, 2021 draft minutes of the Sesquicentennial Ad Hoc Committee. Mover and a second, please. Councilor Ryland, Councilor Kirsten. Any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. We have Resolution 21425. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Cutters hereby approve the Sesquicentennial Ad Hoc Committee's request to engage George Christou for the construction of a horse monument made from recycled and reclaimed farm equipment to be erected on the McKellar Community Center Township Office property, and further that this project be taken on as a capital project not to exceed the amount of $9,999.99, inclusive of all applicable taxes. Kevin Ruber, the seconder, please. Councilor Haskin, seconder. Councilor Ruber. Any discussion? Do you want to speak to it?
Yes, I guess I could. I sat in on my first meeting just short of a month ago, and I've seen the work that's been done so far by this committee, and I actually got to see photos of what is actually being proposed for this course that will be welded using farms from, we're thinking local farms, everybody can donate, and from the pictures I've seen, it is really something special. As from really quite a work of art. So I was quite impressed with it.
Okay. Councilor Moore? Councilor Moore?
Moore kind of hit on what I was thinking is that that's a large sum of money, and I think we should know what it's going to look like before we get it built and approve that kind of funding to build it and have it put in township property. If it ends up to be that monument of you know what, you know who's responsible for it. So I would suggest that we need to see it, or I do anyway, before I can prove it, what it's going to look like.
We can add to the next. The request is urgent because they need the time to build this type of thing and gather all the materials to do it. It's not something that can happen overnight, so they're trying to get the maximum lead time in order to present it. I think we can circulate what they have and circulate it to council.
Yes, it's unfortunate that it wasn't circulated, and probably the pictures that I've seen may not be identical, but apparently the fellow who does these kind of monuments is an extreme artist and does tremendous work. So, I would think that, yes, this should be made available to council members to view, and whether delaying 1 month will have much effect. I think they'd like to know if they can place the order so they can start gathering parts and everything. I'd like to personally see it go through, but it's certainly understandable council members' concern that council maybe should have some sort of pictures available to see it. Has any other council members actually seen the photos of the examples of this? No, I've
no, we're going out to the George's art, where he does all of his metal construction. He's just a phenomenal artist. He's so excited about this project, he wants to get going. So, well, he's done all sorts of stuff all through the province.
So it's probably safe to say the council may agree in principle to the idea of a project like this for a 150th. It's, I would think that it should be conditional that we agree on some sort of a photos. So, if council wishes, we could delay it for 1 month, or if we have a meeting prior to 1 month away, we could make it on that agenda. So, it's once we get the photos to everybody.
My preference would be to pass it, but circulate the photos from the committee. And let's get on with it. It's a project that we need. They've been trying to get approved for some time, so that's my opinion.
Chair?
Councilor Moore?
I can't agree with that opinion because you're approving something that you don't even know what you're approving unless you've seen the pictures. I have. So I would like to see them first. That's the wrong approach to something to say, yeah, go ahead and build it, we'll pay for it. And then it doesn't make what you want at all. I don't care who's building it or where it comes from or how else. Time's not an issue as far as I'm concerned, but it isn't that far away. Or it is that far away, I mean.
In your opinion?
Councilor
Hagan? Certainly is.
Sorry?
One thing, the historical committee was going to engage in a project, and then there was concern regarding the procurement bylaw. And number one question, has this been run through, run past the treasurer, opinion regarding how this process for procurement takes place? Secondly, has the public works superintendent being advised of this project? Anything of that kind of weight is going to need a substantial base, and the location would have to be approved. How heavy steel metal things can add up, and can't be quick.
Thank you.
So the Mr. Chair, regarding the procurement bylaw, as I mentioned earlier, if it's part of the budget, then we don't need to have approval because it's already part of the budget and it's already budget is already approved. But it's something which is not part of the budget and has to present to the council, and it depends on council approval.
I think I'm confident. We have a meeting tomorrow, and I think they were excited to get approved, but I can tell them the concerns of council, and it basically is going to be, again, council's approval for the expenditure, which is basically a budget item, and so we'll ask that the photos get circulated to council members, and I would think if those photos I've seen, I would think anybody would say, yeah, that would certainly be a big compliment to our community center grounds for the 150th celebration. So it's, I think when the celebrations are, I think another month, or like I say, if you put it on an agenda, if we do have a meeting prior to a month away.
So is there an agreement to defer?
I think we can defer it.
Okay. Consensus. Okay. Defer. Okay. We're moving into Public Works reports. And the first one will be about the 50-kilometer sign, and I'll turn it over to our Director of Operations, Greg, to fill us in.
Oh, sorry, I was cutting you off before you
said something. So we have the 50-kilometer-hour sign currently by Minerva Park. I was wishing to have it moved westward on 124 to give the motorists plenty more time to slow down before they get to the village. And it'll be MTO who will decide where the sign will go, but I'm hoping the sign will be installed where the 50th egg sign is currently, west of the village, and then that 50th egg sign will then be moved up the hill further toward 152. So I think that should allow the mourners to slow down considerably before they get to the village, not like it is now where basically at Wind River Park, and by the time they actually slow down in the center room.
Any questions from Craig about moving the 50-kilometer sign? So resolution 21426 be resolved that the Council Township of McAllister is hereby received the Public Works Report PW 221-09 50-kilometer per hour extension on Highway 24 for information and further. Direct staff to submit a request to the Ministry of Transportation for an extension of the 50-kilometer per hour zone west of the village of McKellar. And I'll move in a second, please. Second. Councilor Moore. Any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 21427 be resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby received Public Works Report PW 2021-10 installation of electric speed signs for information, and further direct staff to submit a request to the Ministry of Transportation to have electronic speed signs installed at each end of the 50-kilometer speed per hour zone in the village of McKellar in the spring of 2022. Have a mover and a second, please.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on the table first.
Okay.
So I need a mover. I need a mover and a second. Councilor Moore, second. Councilor Diamond.
And I'll turn it over to the operations
update. Yeah, so that'll be called over the 50 extension, and maybe perhaps on the road looking at the community safety zone. Does it all collect data for the number of vehicles that actually are speeding, if there are any? And OPB would like to have access to this information as well as MTO to help promote this community safety zone if needed.
Question I have is, what do we have to do to get them to move on a community safety zone as a township and as a council?
Exactly that. Get the signs up, get the data, and if it proves that the vehicles are speeding in the community, that will certainly help us down the road.
So we have to have documentation and support from the community in order to get it forward.
Exactly. Yep.
Any further questions for Greg?
Yes, Councillor Haskett.
The electronic speed signs, Greg, do they actually have capabilities of documentation of the speeds people are coming into the zone?
Yeah, they certainly do. And they're Bluetooth capable, so MPO and OPB and myself have access to all that data.
Okay, and I see the motion is directs staff to submit a request to the Ministry of Transportation to have electronic speed signs installed. So is our motion actually requesting that they supply them to?
Well, they supply the signs. I have the signs currently.
That's right.
So what this resolution will help me do is give you permission to go ahead and get the permit from MTO. And have those signs installed in the room.
Good. Sounds good.
Any further questions? Councilor Kekkonen?
Just to add to the discussion, this has been discussed at the CPAC meetings, and from what I'm aware, that the NGO likes to see municipalities put in mitigation measures before acting on community safety zone. And the OPP, in order for them to dedicate their enforcement in a productive manner, they need the data. And a lot of times, these electronic speed signs fulfill what is trying to accomplish by getting people to slow down within the community safety zone. And as well, because it allows them to know when they need to provide their presence in that area to ensure that the public know to slow down. And I think just the electronic signs themselves play a significant role in people being cognizant of their speeds and slowing down.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Thank you. Thanks, Greg. The next report is 21428. Be resolved that the Council Township of McKellar has received the 2021 McKellar Market Report for information. May I have a move and second, please? Moore, second. Councilor Ryan. Any discussion? I certainly want to thank, and I thank her in my mayor's report too, but thank Jan for all her efforts, not just last year, but her whole development over the last 5 years of making our market just the thing to do on Saturday mornings. I mean, we're talking over 1,000 people every Saturday morning, and volunteer firefighters are on their toes to keep everything safe, and I've never heard a negative comment about the market other than positive stuff. So from the vendors, from people who use it, from outside of McKellar as well. So I think it's an excellent report, and we certainly wish that she will continue in this position next year and follow up with that. We would certainly support that. Those are my comments. Anybody else have any comments on her report? Okay. So to receive a report, I'll call a question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 21429 be resolved that the Council of Township of Gardner is hereby received the Emergency Management Committee Report E-2021-01 for recreation, seniors, card groups, community hall reopening schedule, and protocols for information. Further, the Council is hereby approved the reopening of the community hall effective Wednesday, November 10th, 2021, subject to the following conditions. Permanent custodial services are available, and all COVID-19 protocols are followed. May you have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Haskin? Seconded. Councillor Moore? Councillor Haskin, do you want to speak to it first?
All I'd like to say is that our Recreation Committee will be very happy about that. We've been chomping a bit to get to different activities going here in the community center, so I believe we should have custodial services set up soon, and they can easily do the COVID-19 protocols, so I would almost say that starting tomorrow we can get the program going.
Councilor Moore?
The subject heading is named certain groups, but this is for all groups, isn't it?
Yes, it's we've been close to all these groups up till now, except the Tai Chi, but they were been in because they had all their COVID-19 protocols approved by the health unit and the EMC. And so they've already been operating for a while because they were operating outside and then inside. So the biggest question that our group had was dealing with the card groups and making sure that we could do the capacity change, we could do the COVID-19 protocols, and so we have done this with the blessing of the health unit and our committee, so that's why it's there for your approval, so we can start these programs. Realistically, we didn't think we could start until the next Monday, the 15th, because we weren't sure about our custodial situation, and we had to review the schedule of setup and takedown and cleaning with the custodian, which is now going to be approved, right? So we said the 10th, but the reality might be the 15th, but I'm open to suggestions from anybody and knowing a little bit more about custodial help. So we haven't approved that, but we knew there was a contingency here that was a problem. So we'd like to be open tomorrow, but.
So will we change the resolution and the date in the resolution? Sorry.
It's up to you to do that. I mean, our intent was positive when we put it in, but the reality is at that time we did not have a custodian and the contract had not been signed. So we originally were optimistic, but the reality might be the 15th. But I'm open to any suggestion that you have. We can open it. I guess I have to ask the treasurer, are we okay with the custodian at this point in time to open up the facility?
So the custodial report is next, and it's up to the approval of the council. And if the council approves it, then we can start it tomorrow.
So we can leave it? Sorry, we can leave it as is and see what we do with the custodial. We were really in the mix when we were starting this a week or so ago. Councilor Chetkin?
Would this be as simple as just having this motion put on the table, deferred until after we pass the custodial? custodial contract motion. Secondly, so this has been approved by the health unit.
It's all been approved by the health unit and our EMC.
Great.
And that's why this is coming forward to council.
Yeah.
So we can do them in reverse order if that's easier to do. Okay, then
yes,
we'll just hold that one for now. And we can go to custodial one. Just hold that one for now.
Will that change the resolution numbers?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah, we'll change the numbers. So this one is the custodial one. So we'll change this one. This will be the new formula. Okay, there we go. All right. Our numbers are in sequence. Resolution 21.
Numbers are in sequence 21-429. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Calgary has hereby received report T21-12 RFP CC 2021-003/004 Custodial Services for Information. And further, the Council of Township Governors accept the bid from Alex Serve for the provision of custodial services for the Council for the McKellar Township Community Center Complex as set out in RFP CC 2021-004 in the amount of $30,000.00, inclusive of all applicable taxes for a 1-year contract. Need a mover and a second. Councilor Mueller, second. Councilor Ryland? Any discussion? Councilor Mueller?
I'm very much in the dark about this because I'm sure Nick is too, because we weren't on board whenever this original RFP went out, I don't think. Some of my questions are, the understanding was a previous person approved. They never did sign a contract.
To Mr. Chair, previous company was Kidron Janitorial Corporation, and we approved his submission for the amount of $36,340. And once we approved it, I called the company several times. They didn't reply my calls or, return my calls, so my assumption is they never were in interest because the company was based in Barrie.
Okay. One other question, actually a couple other questions.
Sure.
Was this applicant part of was this the original RFP, or was the new RFP sent out for this contract?
There was a new RFP did the advertisement, and the last date of submission was November 1st.
Okay.
Question?
Go
ahead. Is the increase in price reflective of an increase in work that we're asking them to do, or is it simply just, I was going to say cost of living, but I mean COVID-related increases?
Through the Mr. Chair, the budgeted amount was $18,000, but actually the previous custodian was doing the services for the amount which is not up to the market. Even back then, when initially the contract was awarded to the previous person in 2017, some of the people who submitted the submission was around $30,000. That's I'm talking about 2017. So the amount is roughly should have been around 30. So it seems reasonable. And if we look at the previous submission, which we approved at the September meeting, 36,000, it's lower than that.
But does COVID protocols enter into this in terms of the price? I mean, or is it just incidental? In other words, I think you've answered the question, but just because I understand that the COVID hygiene is a lot more certain than what was here before. I assume that's part of the equation here.
the contract company knows about it, the person knows about the COVID, and they must have included in the calculation.
Okay. Any further questions? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. So we're back on to 21-4-30 regarding the opening of the community center following the strict COVID-19 double vaccination. The number is now 50, and all the rest is as outlined. And now that we do have a custodian in place, we could open up November the 10th, or we could open up November the 15th. It's your discretion. I'm looking for advice.
Let's go with the November 10th tomorrow. We have a custodial service. We've been looking for one for months. We finally got it. Let's get going.
Okay, so we'll have to inform all the groups that we're going. Okay. Thank you. So, any further discussion? Call a question. All in favor? Here, thank you. Mayor's report. Yeah, I will circulate the mayor's report tomorrow morning to staff and council and committee chairs. Just on Sunday, we had an excellent Remembrance Day ceremony. Thanks everybody for participating. Norm Miller was there, and just for your knowledge, Norm Miller is not going to be running in the next election. He's stepping down, and the mayor of Bracebridge will be stepping up to be the conservative MVP, or he's running for it. We had excellent people presenting. We've had a 97-year-old pilot, a member of Dutch Underground, plus all the community organizations. We had one person not show up, and that was our own agricultural society, so we've got to get them, make sure that they are there to make a presentation. So we had our substitute reef layer do an excellent job in covering that. It was just a good day. I think we had 70 plus. It's hard to know the exact numbers. We gave out quite a few. I think there are a lot of people that just took one, but it was a very good day. We certainly thank Public Works for all their help in getting them ready. The flights worked beautifully. And the place was clean, the chairs were there. The only one that goofed up was me. I brought in the new public speaker and forgot the microphone. So we used the Legion's one, but it was just a special day. Market report we've received, so I went with that. I'm just hoping that we encourage her to continue next year. So I'll do that. We're no longer going to be doing the Meet the Mayor on Mondays. I've canceled it. Anyway, our EMC is that we've just done all that sort of stuff, but we've got it all open and going. On Monday, November the 15th, I'll be giving a deposition to the Whitestone Council on behalf of our council, thanking them for collaborating on numerous mutual projects, as well as thanking their CAO, Shahemi, for all our efforts keeping us afloat during the difficult period. Budget planning, we did get some good news this week. I didn't include it in my report, but I'm going to ask Roshan to bring some of the data on a nice little grant that we just got. So.
We have received the OMPF grant, which is basically the grant for the municipal operation, and the give every year the grant, and this year we received the grant, and it's almost 750 plus thousand for next year, 222.
And we've just also learned that MPAC, we're going to bring in the new four-year MPAC assessments starting in 22. That's not going to happen until 23. There must be an election in the year, I think. So because they were going to go up considerably, I would think, but they're not going to go up until 23, just to keep you informed. Our treasurers, we're going to be starting our planning for the budget probably in early December.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, the GDPR, they didn't mention it today, but they had a budget meeting on the 4th. And we were raised concerned to them that they were going to raise our budget 3% cost of living. And we said we have other projects going on with COVID-19 fallouts and area projects, and they have decreased their ask to back to the 221 value, and they will not be given 3% COL increase. So that was good news. Things that are coming up, we have on tomorrow, we have our EMC measures training at 9 o'clock for, is it just staff or is it both staff and council?
Stop.
Just staff. Okay. Successfully Centennial Committee is tomorrow at 9:30. Lake Stewardship is on the 11th at 6:30. And we have an Historical Committee on the 24th, the Recreation Committee on the 25th, Library Board on the 29th. So they'll be circulated to you tomorrow morning. Any questions? There's no correspondence for consideration. So we have various motions. We have Resolution 21431. Be resolved that the Council of Township and County is hereby appoint the following councillor. As a representative to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board, since we've changed two new councillors, there's a series of boards or committees that we have no representation on. Right now, we have Councillor Haskell is on the Planning Board, and we need a second member on the Planning Board. Just wondering if anybody would be interested in sitting in on the Planning Board. Okay. Sense?
I still bring my concerns up there instead of here.
Keep them on the straight and narrow. Okay, we have Councilor Reg Moore has. Can I have a mover and a second, please? Councilor Ryan, a second. Councilor Haston, any discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Here. You can follow up with Councillor asking about when they are, when they're coming up.
Yeah, I don't know if my department, but the staff could contact Parry Sound Area Planning Board and give them, let them know that Reg is appointed and his email contact. And just so you know, Reg, their meetings are through Zoom, and they probably will continue to be for a little bit from what I Reg has definitely got the experience for that kind of board.
Second one is Resolution 21432. Be resolved that the Council of Township of McKellar is hereby appoint the following council as representative on the McKellar Sestri Centennial Committee. Need a mover and a second?
I guess I'm another new guy, so.
Second? Councilor Moore? I think Councillor Haston has been recommended by that committee. You still want to do that?
I can do it. I attended their last meeting, and think they did pass a motion recommending that I be appointed as the council representative on that committee. So I'm willing to if council decides that. I guess it'll depend on the workload that the new council, what else there's going to be as we go through here, piled on now.
So we have Councillor Kat Haskell as the representative of the Sesame Centennial Committee. We thought that was a nice combination with the Recreation Committee and Sesame Centennial, since they're going to be doing a lot of joint projects, etc. So, call the question, all in favor? Carried. We have resolution 21433. Be resolved that the Council of Township Calgary does appoint the following councillor as representative of the Parry Sound Area Chamber of Commerce. Do we have any volunteers for Chamber of Commerce? 3 for 3.